Blog Talk Radio.
Well, hello. Thanks so much for tuning in to Lifestyles for a Lifetime. I'm your host, Dr. Gwyneth Williams, and we're continuing today to talk about prayer. This will be our year-long series, and I'm excited to see what the Holy Spirit has in store for us today. We talk about prayer as being an examination of prayer being like two sides of a door, and that's a prayer of when we examine ourselves, it's going to lead to us self-love. God says, how can we love our neighbor? Or we have to first love ourselves, and even from God's acceptance and love within us, along with just knowing what is going on inside of us is so important. Sometimes we don't understand why we receive the consequences in our life, and it's due to the fact of something that's going on that we haven't repented of. And I was studying this week about Moses and Pharaoh, and how Moses went to Pharaoh on several times and to ask him to let his people go. But because of Pharaoh's hardened heart, God let him stay there. God turned him over, the scripture says, to a hardened heart. You might think, well, why would God do that? It was because Pharaoh would not examine his heart and what was in his heart and repent. Even after the leader, Moses, was sent by God, so God let him stay where he was and turned him on over to his own desires and his own will. And so that's why it's important with us. Maybe there's something you're going through now, and God has said, I want you to examine your heart, and I want you to deal with this issue, and you won't be able to pass the test and be free of that. So here Pharaoh had to have all the flies and the frogs and, you know, the darkness and go through all the plagues, and then what he would not examine his heart and repent of, all the other people around him and even those that were in leader that he was in leadership to experienced as well. So that is one aspect of that we've discussed in past, examining our heart by looking inward and just daily taking spiritual inventory and taking time. And we won't go back into that today, but you can listen to some of the previous teachings. But come to God with a broken and contrite heart is the next step that we talked about, is the prayer of tears. We talked about Job, Isaiah, Jeremiah, David, Jesus, Paul, the scripture that talks about blessed are those who mourn. And we went into an in-depth study of how they had the litany of tears, and they cried out out to God. So there's the value of the prayer of tears. It leads to a heartfelt contrition. Just knowing that you're sorrowful for your sins and even sorry for the sins of others, not just for yourself. And we discussed how we have to weep with those that weep and how we repent of our sins of others, not just ourselves, and we're forgiven. And they're forgiven. They're set free. And then on last, we talked about joy. And even some of us have seen people that have holy laughter. I believe God wants us to walk in that. Now, for today's study, we're going to continue on. And we're going to start with 1 Peter 1, 6 to 8. And here, if we're talking, this is talking about maybe you've gone through fiery trials. But God is taking from a fiery trial to that unspeakable joy. And 1 Peter 1, 6 to 8, and I'll read it. I have the message here, and then I'll also would like to read it out of the Amplified. But in the message, it says, I know how great this makes you feel. 1 Peter 1, I'm reading 6 through 8. Even though you have to put up with every kind of aggravation in the meantime, pure gold put in the fire comes out of it, prove pure. So what it says, you may be going through aggravation right now, but if you know that gold that's refined, even in the natural, it goes through its courses, it goes through its stages, but it comes out and it's proved pure. And that's what God is doing in our lives when we repent. And even when you're going through trials, that you're going to come out and be proved as pure gold. The scripture goes on to say, genuine faith put through this suffering comes out to be proved genuine. So when Jesus wraps this all up, it's your faith, not your gold, that God will have on display as evidence of his victory. Now, isn't that awesome? That's in the message. Now, let's look at this in the Amplified. And we're going to look here and at again over in 1 Peter 1:6. It says, you should be exceedingly glad on this account. Know through now, for a little while, you may be distressed. How many out there, you may feel like you're distressed by your trials and suffer temptations? But verse 7 says, so that the genuineness of your faith may be tested. So your faith, which is infinitely more precious than the perishable gold, which is tested and purified by fire. So just think of it this way. This proving your faith, it's intended so that to redound to your praise and glory and honor when Jesus Christ, which we know he's the Messiah, the Anointed One, is revealed. So without having seen him, you love him, though you do not even know him. You believe in him, and this is the part that we want to get to, and exalt and thrill with inexpressible and glorious triumph. So this is the part that we're getting to, that heavenly joy. So here we're saying from fiery trials to unspeakable joy. So in Amplified, it says that it is inexpressible and glorious. And I love how it says triumphant, heavenly joy. So that is what you're going to experience. And in back to the message, it says, you never saw him, yet you love him. You still don't see him, yet you trust him. Now, I love this. It gives the definition of the joy with laughter and singing. Well, God wants us to walk in that and to know that this is a part of it, with laughter and singing, because you kept on believing, you'll get what you're looking forward to. And we know that that's total salvation. So the scripture, even though you may be have go into that deep groaning and intercessory prayer, which later as the burden, as that burden that you're going through, as it's released, it's going to be turned into holy laughter. So it's just good just to laugh and to have that unspeakable joy, even if you're going right now through that trial or through that tribulation. Just keep on trusting, keep on believing, and you're going to get there. You know, salvation is progressive. You're going to be like that pure gold put in the fire. You're going to come out, and you're going to be proved pure and genuine. You're like, oh, I can't make it anymore. Oh, but we're here to encourage you today that the value of you just crying out and to God and the prayer of with tears that, you know, weeping may endure for a night, but the joy is going to be there tomorrow. So continue in that genuine faith that you're going through the suffering because you're going to be proved genuine. But it's your faith. So we just decree today, don't give up. Just keep pressing. God is going to have on display as evidence of the victory. So even though you don't see him, the scripture's saying, yet you love him. And the end result is laughter and singing because you kept on believing. And so if you keep believing, you're going to get what you're looking forward to. So the next point we want to bring out, it indicates God has touched the center of our lives. God has touched the center of our lives when we pray and when we cry out with the tears from heaven. That means that God is there because we're crying out to him. Other than that, we would go to man, we would go to situations, we would go to different circumstances to try to make ourselves happy. But when God's touched the center of our lives and we're crying out to him, not to man, not looking to people, husbands, wives, cousins, sisters, brothers to satisfy us, but God, then we are walking in the divine purpose and divine blessings of God, and God becomes the center of everything. There's a song that Jesus, he's the center of my life, he's the center of my joy, and that's what we want to walk in that. And in Psalms 42, 1 through 8, and I'll start with a message. It says, a white-tailed deer drinks from the creek. Psalms 42, 1 to 8. I want to drink God, deep drops of God. Now, here we're talking about deep calling to deep. I'm thirsty for God, alive. I wonder, will I ever make it? Arrive and drink in God's presence. I'm on a diet of tears, tears from breakfast, tears from supper. All day long, people knock at my door, pestering. Where is this God of yours? There are the things I go over and over, emptying out the pockets of my life. I will always at the head of worshiping crowds. Right out in front, leading them all, eager to arrive and worship, shouting praises, singing thanksgiving, celebrating all of us. God's feast. Which are you down in the dumps, dear soul? Why are you crying the blues? Fix my eyes on God and soon I'll be praising again. So here he's saying, fix your eyes on God. He puts a smile on your face because he's my God. When my soul is in the dumps, I rehearse everything I know of you. From Jordan's depths to the Hermon Heights, including Mount Mizar, chaos calls to chaos. And we know that deep calls to deep. To the tune of the whitewater rapids, your breaking surf, your thundering breakers crash and crush me. Then God promised to love me all day. Sing songs all through the night. My life is God's prayers. So the deep is calling to deep. So God has touched the center of our life as we reach out. And I think this scripture here, it bears reading. And I'll go through and read it out of the Amplified again. And it says, as the heart pants and longs for the water brooks, so I pant and long for you, Lord. How many of us, verse 2, inner self is thirsting for God, for the living God? When shall I come and behold your face? My tears have been my food day and night, while men say to me all day long, where is your God? This is the Amplified. These things I earnestly remember and pour myself out within me. How I went slowly before the throng and led them in possessions to the house of God. So here he's saying, like a bandmaster, boom, 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 before his band, timing the steps to the sound of music and the chant of the song. With the voice of shouting and praise and throng keeping festival. Why are you cast down, oh, my inner self? So here he's examining his inner self, his inner man. And why should you moan over me and disquiet within me? Hope in God. Wait, wait. Those of you are need just to wait expectantly for God. He's going to breathe there for you. Because he goes on to say, for I shall yet praise him. My help and my God, oh my God, my life is cast down upon me, and I find the burden more than I can bear. How many of you feel like you can't take anymore? You can't, but therefore, he says, well, I earnestly remember you from the land of the Jordan River and the summits of Mount Hermon, from the little mountain Mizar. Roaring deep calls to roaring deep at the thunder of your waterspouts. All you breakers and you rolling waves have gone over me, yet the Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night his song shall be with me, a prayer to God of my life. Because God is what? He is our rock. So these are all the prayers. The prayer of tears. So we have discussed that, the 5 points for those of you taking notes, the value of the prayer of tears. It leads to heartfelt contrition. The next point, sorrowful for your sins and sorry for the others of sin, not just yourself. In other words, we talked about Romans 12, weep with those who weep, repenting for the sins of others releases them to be forgiven, set free. It results in deep joy. Intercessory prayer, which relieves the burdens, turns to holy laughter. And then our last point is that when you have those tears, you're touching the center of God's heart, and deep is calling to deep. Now, today, and we're going to close with this, we want you not just to know about this, but this week we want you to practice it. As God reveals to you your heart, don't be like Pharaoh and have to experience what you wouldn't repent of. He experienced the frogs. He experienced the gnats and the flies and the blood and all the different plagues that went about, the darkness. He experienced it because he wouldn't repent. When God shows you your heart, repent. So we're going to talk about 3 things that we want you to practice this week. And first one is daily repentance. So we have to look at our hearts every day and find something to repent about. So this week and every day, I'm like, okay, God, what did I do? Did I say something about someone? The thing I repented about yesterday, did I repent or am I trying to carry that on? Because we have to remember, if we don't repent, then we are turned over to our own lasciviousness, our own lust, our own ways, just as Pharaoh was turned over to a hardened heart. And some of the things that we may be calling fiery trials may come as a result because we did not repent of what God wanted us to, so that our heart was softened and we could receive the blessing and favor of God. because the opposite of that is walking in the favor of God. So when we repent, we don't have to suffer the consequences. So maybe you're going through a trial where God is, maybe it's something within your body. God is saying that thing against sexually. God is saying today he wants you to start a new slate. Maybe he wants to give you a new virginity. Maybe you've been out there committing adultery. God's saying today, daily, examine your heart. Maybe it's been gossiping. Maybe it's one of the lust of the eyes or the lust of the flesh, or maybe it's just pride. You don't want to say you're sorry. We had watched a beautiful Hallmark movie last night. It had such a great meaning, too. So many Christian aspects and points that were brought up. But one, they were friends for 20 years. They hadn't spoke to each other in the movie. And because one didn't want to say he was sorry to the other, and the whole bottom line was they both wanted to be right. Maybe you have to be right all the time. And maybe there's someone you haven't spoken to because you felt like you were right and they were wrong. It really doesn't matter. As we talked about 2 weeks ago, if you're right or you're wrong, some people will lie or some people will kill just to show that they're right. Isn't that amazing? And that's pride. And that's why Satan was thrown out of heaven, because he thought he was better. He was cast down and all his demons were with him. So let's daily repent and practice praying and crying out whatever it is in your life that you need to repent of, to cry out to God. And one of the biggest things in the baits that Satan uses is unforgiveness and trying to bring strife against brother or sister. So let's start with that. So let's just take time and pray right now. For whatever it is, I want you just what in your heart do you really want to just release to the Lord? So we just pray right now, God, that those that are listening, what has been tugging their heart or what they need to release, God, let them release of it and leave it behind so they don't have to re-experience the results of reciprocity that come with sinning. But that we lay it down and soften our hearts, God. Soften each person's heart, that they can weep again, that they can cry again. And even with couples out there, or friends, maybe you need to be the one to go, even though you were wronged. Maybe you need to go and say, I'm sorry. Not wait for that person to come. Or maybe you weren't right and they were right. It doesn't matter who's right. Because that's pride. It's self-centeredness. But God wants to be the center. So just to cry out and say, God, I'm sorry. Or maybe someone out there, someone's always pointing at you what you didn't do right. And you didn't do it this way. You didn't do it that way. So what? As long as you're doing it unto God, it doesn't matter. You don't have to be a defense. God will be your defense. And just give it to him. And so maybe that's why you're having to prove that you're right all the time, because you've been had the finger pointed all the time saying you did it and do it right. Maybe your loved ones wanting to leave you. Maybe you're the one to go and say, I'm sorry. Maybe that'll make a chance for reciprocity and for you to come together and that person to say, I'm sorry. Takes us humbling ourselves. That's what we want to practice today. And mainly not maybe just going to people, but going to God and say, God, I'm sorry, you know, for not trusting you this week. I spent my tithe money because I didn't think that you could pay this bill. Or maybe it's something that you said you were going to be sorry and you weren't going to do it again. Maybe you're drinking and you said, oh, I'm not going to drink alcohol anymore or drugs anymore. God is saying, I am the Holy Spirit. I can be your new wine. I can be that drug, that feeling that you're looking for. The peace is found in me. Maybe you're a young lady out there and you're going from man to man, from lap to lap, and God says, I'll be your Abba Father. I'll be your houseman. I'll be your husband, man. Just repent and trust me. and I'll supply everything you need in the natural as well as in the spiritual. No matter what it is that you're going through, God is there for you. And the next one, before we close, is acts of contrition. And the third one is when we cannot weep. But let's go to number two before we close. The first one is daily repentance. The second one is acts of contrition. And the third one is when we cannot weep. These are the practice of the prayer of tears that you're to do this week. We want you to cry out. We want you to repent. And we're even going to have a small group amongst our group tonight. What are some of the things we need to repent about? Sometimes it's just confessing and talking to one another. We have our small group meeting with our group here on the road. We're live here from South Korea. And we just have our Bible study. And we were just starting, I was just saying how last night, how it was just so good just to, you know, just to have together. It says a family that prays together, stays together. So just not me and her, but, you know, the people that travel with us or the people that are in our group, we try to invite them in. And it's good. So just share them. And if you repented, share it with someone that what you repented of, sometimes just confessing so somebody else, so they can help hold you accountable. Now let's go to number two before our time ends. It says the acts of contrition. So just ask God, number one, the acts of contrition. So that's number two. First is daily repentance. Number two is acts of contrition. So under number two, the first point is asking, God, give me a contrite heart. He'll do it. Wonder if Pharaoh would have said, God, give me a contrite heart. But no, he didn't want to examine his heart, so he had experienced the plagues. If you sincerely cry out and say, God, I want a contrite heart. And this next one, confessing your sins. Like I said earlier, it may be, oh, God, I have lack of faith for this. Or it might be, well, Lord, you know, I have apathy. Whatever it is, confess that to someone. Maybe you're like, oh, God, my heart is hardened. Maybe you have a hardness of heart about a situation. Maybe you just don't like somebody and you just don't know why, or you're jealous. Express that and go to that person. The next one, receiving and forgiving and cleansing. In 1 John, and we're going to move there to 1 and 9. I want to close with this, and then there will also be the other points that we will cover today. 1 John 1 and 9. And if you're listening to this, I want you to go back and listen to the recording. But 1 John 1 and 9. And I am going to read this out of the Amplified. If we freely admit that we have sinned and confess our sins, He is faithful and just. He's true to His own nature and promises. And God is going to forgive our sins. That means He's going to dismiss our lawlessness and continuously cleanse us from all unrighteousness. It's everything that's not in conformity to His will, in purpose, thought, and action. So that's receive forgiveness of sins and receive the cleansing. We mentioned so many people, God has forgiven them, but they won't forgive themselves. The next one, that were the acts of contrition, is obedience. Once you've repented, be obedient to the thing that God. And then the next one is practicing the virtue. So again, the acts of contrition, number two, asking for a contrite heart. The next one, under number two, confess your sins. Receive forgiving and receive your cleansing. Jesus said, it's done. It's finished. We don't have to continue to let him feel the nails in his hands. We don't have to let him feel as though that his blood was not enough. And basically, when we don't receive the forgiveness, when we don't receive the cleansing, and I tell that to so many people when they come back for prayer or don't believe, we're basically telling Jesus, your blood was not good enough for me. The next point, the obedience, obey, and practice virtue. Now, in our closing, I'm Dr. Gwyneth Williams. You have been listening to Lifestyles for a Lifetime Holiness. We've talked about the value of the prayer of tears and the practice of the prayer of tears. Daily penance is our assignment for life. And number two, acts of contrition, asking for a contrite heart, confessing our sins, receiving forgiveness and cleansing, being obedient and practicing virtue. And our final one, we'll close with number three. What do you do when you can't weep? What do you do when you can't cry? I'm going to give you 4 points. I want you to think about it before I even give you the points here. What do you do when you can't weep? Don't give yourself excuses. You know why I can't cry. The next one, but don't condemn yourself either. So you don't want to give yourself excuses of why you can't cry. But you don't want to condemn yourself either. And the most important thing is immersing yourself in the gospel and in Jesus. The man of sorrows. And he was acquainted with grief. But yet, he overcame. And then when you can't weep, the best thing to do is just have a weeping heart. I talked to one of my sons on yesterday, and I don't know of a service that we had planted a church in Washington that I never, ever saw him not cry. And I'm not talking about just a few tears, but I'm talking about floods of tears and liquid come out of his nose, and I remember asking him one day, wow, you have so many tears. They just continue and continue. And I was talking to him on yesterday, I hadn't talked to him in a while. He reminded me of that. And he was saying how he's been going out on the streets and ministering and just weeping over the people. And we have so a floodgate of tears that can be released if we just have a weeping heart. So thank you so much for tuning in. And to remember the prayer of tears, coming to God with a broken and contrite heart. And Job cried, Isaiah, Jeremiah, David, all through the Psalms. And Jeremiah was the weeping prophet. Jesus cried. Not just Jesus wept, but in Hebrews 5 and 7 in Matthew, he cried. He just, over the children of Israel, he wanted to have them under his wing as a mother hen had her chicks. Blessed are those who mourn with others. Paul, he cried. So have a heartfelt contrition. Remember to be sorry for the sins and sorrows of others, not just yourself, but those who weep, and repent for others as well as yourself. And remember that deep joy and laughter will come. Even if you're going through, there's going to be joy in the morning. If you're going through the fiery trials, God will take you from fiery trials to unspeakable joy. Because God can touch the center of our heart deep, calling out to deep. So repent daily. Ask God for a contrite heart. Confess our sins. Receive your forgiveness and cleansing, because Jesus has already shed his blood, and his blood is sufficient. And remember, as you go through this week, be obedient. Practice virtue. And don't give yourself any excuses. Don't condemn yourself, but immerse yourself in the gospel. And remember, Jesus was a man of sorrows and acquainted grief. But there's victory at the end. So have a weeping heart. And make sure that next week you tune in, because we will be going to a whole another session. Reasons why your prayers are not answered. So tune in next week as we continue on, and it'll probably be a 3-week series, as this one here has been 4 weeks, just this portion of the prayers that examine our heart, the two aspects, like two sides to a door. So God bless you, and we say success to you and success to the kingdom of God. Bye for now.